Hi, this is Daniel Garber the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. While professional chefs might talk about their signature dishes, they like to keep their recipes a closely guarded secret. Even Colonel Sanders wouldn't reveal his 11 herbs and spices, but is it simply a matter of flavor? Or is there some hard science in the mix? And what are these hidden tricks of the trade? Well, Chef Secrets is a new documentary that looks at the science behind some everyday dishes, how they're applied, and why they make food taste so delicious. It follows a number of chefs and scientists cooking everyday things like sourdough bread and mashed potatoes, and it proposes some intriguing conundrums like, what food is solid, liquid, and gas simultaneously? The documentary is produced, directed, and written by award-winning documentary filmmaker Leora Eisen, whose work has been seen on CBC, Radio Canada, History, Smithsonian, BBC, Worldwide, Amazon Prime, lots more. Chef Secrets is now streaming on David Suzuki's The Nature of Things on CBC Gem for free across Canada. My last spoke with Leora at this station in 2014. I'm very pleased to have her back again to tell us more about Chef Secrets. Hi, Leora.
Oh. Hi, Daniel. Hi there.
Thanks so much for meeting with me.
Thanks for having me.
The last time I talked with you was a doc called Two of a Kind about identical twins, including yourself. And that was a very personal film. But what drew you to make a doc about science and food?
Well, part of it was actually because of the pandemic. My adult daughter, who happens to be a much better cook than me, was living in England and had to come back to Canada because of the first lockdown. She moved in with her parents, poor kid, and decided to try her hand at sourdough bread. I don't know if you recall the beginning of the pandemic here, March 2020, because that feels like centuries ago now, but everybody was doing this sourdough thing. So she tried it, and as I watched this gooey mix of flour and water seem to grow by itself, I kind of became fascinated. I knew it wasn't magic. It was microbiology, but I didn't know much more about it. And once I went down the rabbit research hole, I discovered that there's all kinds of cookbooks out there that are based on science. There are all kinds of chefs who use chemistry, physics, microbiology as a technique. And I thought, wow, this would make a great Nature of Things, but surely somebody has done this kind of film before. And they hadn't.
And so with this sourdough, one thing I found really intriguing is a lot of people won't eat bread because of the gluten. But in your documentary, you talk how sourdough helps mitigate the effects of gluten. Can you explain that?
Sure. And in fact, that's something I was really interested in because one of my children has celiac disease and can't have any gluten whatsoever. Another one is gluten sensitive and doesn't normally eat bread. But I told her, you've got to try the sourdough, because as it was explained to me by Vanessa Kimball, who is the queen of sourdough in England and shows us how to make sourdough in the documentary. Gluten has kind of become this dirty word because it gives a lot of us a stomach ache, or at least we think it does. But in sourdough, you've got all this wild yeast and bacteria that are fermenting, and fermentation changes the way the gluten behaves, and that makes it more digestible for people who have non-celiac gluten problems. So that was an interesting thing to learn. It's also got all kinds of nutrients in it that you're not going to find in your basic commercial loaf of white bread at the supermarket. And that's because when the bacteria and yeast that come out of this flour and water mix start doing their job, they produce all kinds of good stuff. And it's the acid in sourdough. You know, you have that tangy taste. That comes from bacteria that produce acid. The yeast feed on all these kind of yummy sugars that create the air bubbles. And so it doesn't just look good or taste good, but there are actual research studies that suggest it is actually better for you.
Another topic that's so interesting. Another topic is about how indigenous people prepare salmon. And you speak with a First Nation chef named Andrew George, and this is what really surprised me. He's talking about the smoking process, but I always thought the smoking was to cook the salmon, but he keeps it away from the heat. So what is the purpose of the smoking?
It's called cold smoking, which who knew, right?
Yeah.
You think of smoke as has to be, you know, hot. And yes, there is a fire. So what they do is they hang the salmon in strips in their traditional smokehouse. And this is something that has been going on in his family for generations. He lives in BC. And in the documentary, we see him go back to his traditional home with his 80-year-old mom, where she still lives, and his young son, who's now a rookie cook from Vancouver, because they want to pass on this tradition of smoking salmon. And one of the things that I found fascinating about him was, yes, he's a Red Seal chef, and he's cooked at the Olympics, and he's cooked for U.S. presidents, but what he actually cherishes most is what he's learned through oral tradition from his parents, his grandparents, his great-grandparents, because they had to learn how to cook sustainably, because it's all based on what's available in nature around them. And during long winters, they would need salmon that has lasted for months, because salmon is one of their main nutritional sources in the part of BC where they live, in the interior of BC. But obviously they're not fishing for salmon in the winter. So they would dry it, and he calls it kind of a version of charcuterie. The smoke from a small fire kills off harmful bacteria. In other words, keeps it from going bad and helps preserve it. And you get that amazing smoked taste, but it will not be edible for long if you actually cook it. So they have to control the fire in order to get a cold smoke. So a small fire with lots of ventilation. So if you look at the smokehouse, there's openings in the wood so that some of the smoke is going out, some of that heat is escaping. It was fascinating to me, because I just think about smoked salmon as Lux and cream cheese on a bagel, but had no idea about the process that we've inherited from indigenous people.
I'm speaking with Leora Eisen about her new documentary, Chef Secrets on the Nature of Things. You couldn't hear it during my intro, but I dubbed in music, and it's the old early 60s song, The Mashed Potato. And that's because you speak with someone with a PhD, so to speak, in mashed potatoes. What are the scientific variables involved in something as simple as mashed potatoes?
Well, you know, first of all, it's simple unless you're not great at it. And I have to say that my mashed potatoes, you know, I could make a great turkey, and then the mashed potatoes were lumpy and not particularly tasty. And so one of the things I wanted to do in this film was explore the science of stuff many people cook every day. You know, we've all seen the fancy molecular gastronomy with the dry ice and you know, five-star restaurants, etc. I wanted to explore the science of things people actually make in their kitchens. And mashed potatoes is a very common food, a very common side dish in Canada. I think the scientist, whose name is Ali, said he used up something like 20,000 Yukon Gold potatoes while researching his PhD in the biochemistry of mashed potatoes. And he wanted to explore texture. What are the properties that get you that smooth? How do you get that smooth potato in your mashed potatoes, if that's how you like them? And he really likes creamy mashed potatoes. Obviously, one of the secrets is gobs of butter. But, you know, there are a lot of people who don't want to cook with gobs of butter. So what are some of the other things that you can do? Well, it was interesting to learn that he compares mashed potatoes to demolition. When you're making mashed potatoes, you're essentially blowing up potatoes. And if you look inside a potato, the cells have, there are all these starch cells, and they're surrounded by something called pectin. Pectin is kind of nature's glue. So if you imagine like a cobblestone wall with the pebbles or the rocks being all the starch cells, and the grout in between holding it together is the pectin. Well, once you've got them boiling in hot water and the water starts seeping in and the starch starts loosening because the pectin's not holding anymore, they literally pop like a balloon. The starch cells blow up and starch escapes. And the key to the texture is how you control how much starch escapes. And that was fascinating to me to learn. And he said, one thing I know I was doing wrong was I use a hand masher and I pound them. I don't know about you. You know, if you go to a Cuisinart, you're basically making whipped
soup.
Cream.
Yeah, whipped cream, yeah. Whipped potato.
Yeah, but if you use, you know, I had my mom's hand masher and he says it's better if you demolish your potatoes with a little more finesse. That's going to help you get that creamy texture. Another thing he said was you could use even like a fine mesh pasta strainer, which is more time consuming than a hand masher. But again, you have more control of the starch. Use a rubber spatula instead of metal. Like all these things that I had absolutely no idea about. So we'll see. I have not attempted mashed potatoes yet. I have attempted one or two other things from the documentary, but we'll see if it makes a difference. But again, cooking is like demolition. You're blowing things up when you're heating them.
Whereas so at the baking, at the same time as blowing things up, in your film, you are also showing us everything. And I hate to use the term food porn, but some of the photography in your film really made my mouth water. It's beautiful, it's colorful, it's sensuous, maybe even sexy. So how do you capture, briefly, the deliciousness and beauty of food in a documentary?
Oh, that is so key, okay? First of all, we are all so used to seeing food porn, as you call it, because many of us watch cooking shows on TV. This was definitely a science documentary, but incorporating the love of cooking, the art of cooking, as well as the science. And for that, I had to make sure that I was very careful about which cinematographers I hired. We made sure we had multiple camera angles. We really took care to work with people who had filmed food and cooking before, because the last thing you want to do is entice people to learn about the science and then have it look blah. You've got to feel like you want to eat it. And it's really fun to watch them cook it, because this is not something where we edited out everything so that it just looks like one smooth process. You actually really do see what they're doing.
We only have a minute left, but I set it up in the intro. What food is liquid, solid, and gas at the same time?
I would have never guessed before, but it's ice cream.
Ice cream.
Okay? So So in the doc, we learn how to make no churn ice cream, no fancy equipment, but it's a surprisingly complex food. I think we figure out the mystery. How do you scoop something that supposedly is frozen? So you'll have to watch to find out.
Exactly. And it's worth seeing just for that. So you'll know what can go into ice cream, mashed potatoes, sourdough bread, smoked salmon, and a whole lot of other. We didn't even get to browning onions, but we don't have time for that. But you'll find out if you watch this new documentary. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much, Daniel, and you got to try the mashed potatoes.
Okay. Leora Eisen's very enjoyable new documentary, Chef Secrets, is now streaming across Canada on CBC Gem. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.